We never know, sometimes even Nebraska. Oh, Bruce and Donna, Osher are in Arizona as well. So, a Merry Christmas, even though it's a day late for all of you, but thanks for joining us by Zoom today. The announcements for today is pretty simple. They're really, you can read them in your bulletin, but a couple of them that are in the bulletin. One is, if you have not got your picture taken, or send a picture, or email a picture to Dina Strzok, make sure that you can get that to her, because she's going to put together the pictorial directory. And an updated one, and we want to make sure that we have all the faces we can get in there, so that you can then study them and put a name to a face, even if you have a hard time remembering what names are. So we are looking forward to that. There are a sign-up sheet if looking for a place or to be involved, some way that you can be involved even in a small little way. There's a sign-up in the fridge in the kitchen if you would like to bring treats or to be a greeter as people come in to greet people. That's a good way to learn people's names. You go like, I'm a greeter, but I don't know who you are. I'm a greeter, my name is so-and-so, but what is your name? Of course, you know, once you make a fool out of yourself, you have a tendency to remember what their names are. I mean, I do that quite often. There's the Altar Guild, another place where you could be involved in. It's not all that much that takes place on the Altar Guild, but if you're interested in doing something with the altar, talk to myself or to Charlie. Call Charlie on the phone or stop and see her at the office. And we'll let you know kind of some of the things that are involved at the guild, at the altar, and we appreciate that. But if you're also looking for a good place to help somebody at this time of the year as well, it's a GoFundMe page that's kind of on the computer. You go to a GoFundMe place. It's for Tammy and Mark Ebel. Tammy is in need of a liver transplant, or a liver that will match for her. And their parents, Mark's parents, Jim and Peg Ebel, they attend here. And so that's something you would enjoy doing or could do or help them. It would be a great help to them. And if you don't want to go on the computer, you can go to any Northwest bank around, and there is an account set up for them there. And you can also give to Tammy and Mark for them this time of the year too. Money well spent will be a very big help to them. And so you see some things that are coming soon, next year, matter of fact. This is the last Sunday of 2021. Incredible. So just think, next Sunday will be next year. So I can say, see you next year. After the service today, it comes next Sunday. So we appreciate all that you have done from Sharon and myself. We just want to extend you a thank you and a welcome, not a welcome, but a thank you just for the love and support that you showed to us throughout the year. And it's just been fun getting to know you. And you know, it still takes time. We haven't been to everybody's house yet. We've been here, we'll be here 3 years in the 1st of June of next year. All right, that's hard to believe as well. But we surely do appreciate you. We're glad to be here in Milford. And we look forward to getting to know you better, as well as you getting to know us better as well, too. So that's all the announcements I'm going to make today, unless there's some that I have not mentioned. If not, well, let's just pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you today for bringing us together. A day after celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, in Bethlehem. And we just thank you, Lord, for families, and for friends, and just for people that are here today. That, you know, usually the Sunday after Christmas, when it comes this close, there's just a lot of people who are gone and doing other things. And we're just thankful for those that are here today, because you're here with us. And you are going to work in our lives here today, and we're just thankful for knowing you as our Savior. And we always just say, Lord, that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that's always our heart and that's our prayer, that you would come to trust in Him and know Him from your hearts, and let Him guide and lead you and forgive you of your sin, and just that be a great help to you each and every day. It's not easy being a Christian these days, and it might even get harder as time goes on. But Lord, you've been faithful to us. Just help us by your grace to be faithful to you, to your word as well. So be with the rest of our service today, Lord, and especially with those that are going through some difficult things. If it's health issues, if it's the memory of ones that have been passed and died in a short while ago, if it's been years ago, we can still remember, we can still share memories, we can use these kinds of things to be helpful for us during these days in which you've given to us to live in. So I'll be with every person, every home here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Responsive reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. I think we go like, I think we heard some of this on Friday night. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning.
Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made.
In Him was life, and that life was the light of men.
The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it.
There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe.
He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world.
He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came so that which was his own, but his own did not receive him.
Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God.
The Word became flesh, and he is his own. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Before the message today, Sharon will play her flute and play the song that's called, oh, you all know this song, O Come All You Faithful.
Thank you.
hearing that was worth coming, wasn't it? You know, only if you would think that way after I preach. It really be nice. You go home and go like, wasn't that flute solo gorgeous today? That's all you'll hear. What was the message about? I don't know. Really don't know. I come to give you God's word today. I invite you to stand as we look at Luke chapter 2. This is a few verses there that always catch my attention this time of the year, every year. Verses 16 through 20 of chapter 2 of Luke. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Heavenly Father, thank you that these words are true, always have been, always will be. Bring us, Lord, to Bethlehem this morning, into the place where Jesus lies in the manger, and Joseph and Mary are there, and the shepherds. Help us, Lord, to see ourselves in this place today, and let your word soak into our hearts and our minds and our lives, that we can leave this place with love and joy and peace and hope because of Christ's child, Jesus Christ, is in our hearts and in our lives. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I say that before, what do you remember about Christmas Eve just a little while ago this year, or Christmas Day yesterday? Let's hear it. What brought a smile to your face in the last 48 hours? It comes about Christmas.
Grandson.
A grandson, a new one? No, or just the same one?
Just fun to watch.
I mean, not the same one, but that you have a grandson. Okay. Cooper, right?
Yeah.
Cooper. Yeah, he's a lot of fun. Charlie.
The candlelight service, when you're got it all dark and you're raising and lowering that candle, it is gorgeous from the back side.
Oh,
it's got to be from the front side, too.
You guys didn't see the back of heads.
No, I just saw the candles.
And it is, it's gorgeous. It is. I think one of my favorite services of the year is the candlelight part of the Christmas service. Anyone else? What brought a smile to your face?
Grandkids.
Norwegian. Christmas Eve.
Oh, you have a traditional Norwegian Christmas Eve? What is that one?
Salted codfish on
that side. Salted codfish? It's not ludicrous.
Oh, it's hot.
I might try that, but salt is not good for the blood pressure, you know. Got to stay away from salt, okay?
Here I hear. Okay.
All right, Rod. Mark.
Yeah, I wrote a poem for the day after Christmas.
You did?
Like your?
Sure.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, just hold on. I'm going to get you a mic. Because what good is it if nobody can hear you? You gonna let Dorothy read it?
Yeah, Dorothy can read it.
I gotta make sure you get this close to your mic.
Okay. All right, can we hear?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. That's the day after Christmas. Today I'm raising out of bed. With visions of Christmas in my head, I listen, but I don't hear a sound. The happy voices cannot be found. It was only yesterday, and it seemed so far away. We all sat at the table saying grace. There was talking, laughter, every place. The smell of turkey, yams, and hams were drifting down the hall. Everyone was drinking, everybody was thinking, Merry Christmas to you, one and all. Today the house so full of cheer with family gone, I fully fear will lay silent for another year. Now I'm left only with my thoughts of happiness, replaced by fear. The fights we won, the ones we lost, will we see another year? We as Christians with religion celebrate the birth of Christ. Is this the time we spend to honor him with smiles on our face? Though the parties of joy get us the noise, do we put him in his proper place? Now we look with great delight to a whole new year. Still we ponder, still we wonder, will we get it right next year?
I never knew you were a poet. I didn't know it, that you were a poet.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's great. There's some other hands that went up.
Just that our grandkids, when they were so happy with their presents and everything, but they would always remind us that it was Jesus they were celebrating and wanted to know why we gave presents. That was one of the smallest one wanted that, and then knowing and remembering Jesus, and that just put a smile on our face because they were getting it right. So
That's great. Smile on your face. About 48 hours ago, Nancy.
I was just sharing with Kathy that one of my son Edward's childhood friends since kindergarten came late at night. And so I kept looking at the clock, but we sat up and talked and talked. And he had mentioned he had a girlfriend who's had many. And I said, well, he's 32. And I said, well, tell me about your girlfriend. And he explained her, how he met her. I said, well, what is her name? And it was an unusual name, and the last name was Hussein. And I thought, okay. I said, is she Muslim? And he goes, yes. I said, well, what do you think of that? And so that became the way I spent until 2:30 in the morning talking gently about how he wanted to believe that we will all worship the same God. We all will be in the same place. And we cannot know if we would be in heaven. And how I wanted to go to bed and how I knew that I loved this friend of mine as well as my son's. And I had to tell him the truth, and it was a night of standing up for the truth. But I could go to bed in peace, because if I had not done it, I would have felt I hadn't loved him enough to say that is the truth. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and he alone will save us. It was it's still hard. I know he accepted what I had to say, but it's God now who will work in his heart.
Just planting seeds.
Planting seeds.
Planting seeds. God makes me. Thank you. Different ways in which things happen. We sometimes don't even plan out. It brings a smile to our face. One more. Or let's just not even have a message. Let's just hear what everybody's saying. Anybody else? That's something to say. Okay, Bill.
Seeing Carolyn, my significant other, enjoy her family. That's one of the reasons we moved up in this area.
Something about families, isn't it?
For her, it's important.
Yeah. It's like with Dave and Sarah. They haven't stopped smiling since I've seen them. I think it's because family comes to see them. They want to see them, which is good. Okay, let me put this mic down here. Just want to give everybody a little time to think about what's taken place in the last 48 hours, because we think of Mary here in our text today. It says she heard a lot of things, and it says that she pondered them in her heart. She treasured them. Things that she treasured and thought about, and I think a lot of these things she might have shared them with other people throughout her life, or she kept them near and dear to her heart because of what was going to lie ahead. For those of you that have had children, you probably are always there when you're born, and you're like, I wonder what they're going to grow up to be. Or who will they marry? Or, all these kinds of things. And it's a lot of unknowns. A lot of unknowns. Sometimes a lot of heartache goes along with that. And sometimes parents see their child, their children, die before they touch them. When I think of Mary, it's kind of, what did Mary hold near and dear to her heart when Jesus was born? And of course, it doesn't say it in the text, but I'm just thinking of how we can relate those kinds of things to us today. And it's more so to the moms, grandmothers that are here today that probably can relate most to what Mary treasured and pondered than guys can, but it'll help us guys to reminisce a little bit here too. But for Mary, it could have been the fact that this was her first child. I mean, she's a teenager. She's probably around 14. We don't know that for sure. She's young, a lot younger than Joseph. But she gives birth in a miraculous way. Because she's never, ever been with a man before to have a child like normally takes place. She was visited by Gabriel. She said, be to me whatever you want. I'm your servant. She trusted and believed what the angel said to her. And here she has the baby in kind of a crazy place. It's no room for him in the inn. She has him in a place where it says it was a manger. Some call it a barn. It could be a cave where animals are kept. It could be a place that really isn't disinfected in a lot of ways. I think of babies that are born today. It has to be a sterilized room or kind of watchful for any kinds of something that's contaminating. But moms, what was it like when you had your first one? And sometimes that's the only one. When you think about it, it's probably hard to describe or put into words. Back in the day when we had our first one, I was glad that they really did not want the dads in there. We just said, just let me know when it's all over. And Sharon going, come and hold my hand. And I'm going, no. So it's different for everybody. But the first one is quite amazing because you go like here, a part of me and a part of her, and now you're stuck with us and we're stuck with you, and you don't get much sleep there for a while. But maybe Mary thought something too about labor pains. What was the labor like? To go through that. Us guys can't relate to that at all. It's not the most fun thing to go through. Or you could have, maybe Joseph was coaching her to breathe and to push and to relax like a Lamaze instructor. Think he was able to do that? I don't know. But we went through Lamaze. I didn't want to go through the line. But it turned out to be something worthwhile, to know what was happening at the time and what to do. Then, of course, it's when you hear the sound of a baby's cry. Maybe that's something that Mary remembered, too, at home near her heart, like, oh, so that's what that baby cry snatcher sounds like. A little crying. You know, years ago, you got slapped on the behind. Made you cry. And I don't know if that was to help get the fluids out of your lungs or what, but you know, you came into a Bible world right away. But could be some of the things that Mary thought about through this whole process of giving birth. I want us to just think a little bit about the faces of the people who came. Remember when you were in the hospital as a first child that is born, or the second or the third, the people who came to visit you, or the ones that you brought to them, probably at Christmas time or whatever it was, they said, let's take a peek. We want to see that little gal or that little guy. But the looks on the faces, and Joseph's face had to be beaming as a proud dad, thinking that this is his son. That he's able to see and to have held. And then all of a sudden the shepherds show up, and all of them have faces too. And of course they've seen the angels, and they've heard what the angels told them out in the hills, and then they come and they find Joseph and Mary the babe in the manger, just like they were, like the angels said they would. And so things that they heard was like today. Well, not tomorrow or not next week, but today in the town of David, a child was born, Christ the Savior. And so it was a real revelation from God that the shepherds would bring to Joseph and Mary about this babe, who he really was. But maybe not everybody had a smiling face. When Herod the Great heard about another king having been born, but not knowing really where, he wasn't smiling. You have some religious leaders, some Jewish religious leaders, who would hear that there was a king born, and a lot of them weren't happy even when Jesus began his ministry. Their faces were not smiling until after the crucifixion, his execution. We know the Pharisees and the Sadducees, which are also religious groups of religious leaders, that they were really the ones that were a pain in the neck for Jesus throughout his ministry. Most of them, not all of them. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Zacchaeus was a Pharisee. Who's the guy from Arimathea? Joseph of Arimathea, who took the body down of Jesus. You got Roman authorities like Pontius Pilate, Herod Antipas, Judas Iscariot. Well, some of the names we find that probably were not always smiling at Jesus. We have, of course, many different Jews and many different Gentiles. So how about your face today? When you think of Jesus Christ being born, does it bring a smile to your face, or does it mean nothing? Could be like that tribe that we talked about Friday night at the candlelight Christmas service. They had no idea who Jesus was. What it really was, but they sure loved Judas. They thought he was a hero. Because they could understand how Judas would betray and turn against Jesus, because that's kind of what they were like. That's how they've done it. They have known nothing different through the centuries. Did Mary treasure these things and ponder them on her heart because of what was said about Jesus? You know, the shepherds said that they told Joseph and Mary what the angels had said to them about this child. She pondered those kinds of things, those words, like, wow, that's quite amazing, quite incredible things that we are hearing the shepherds tell us, what they've seen, what they heard. Remember, shepherds were the lowest class of people at that time in history. People really didn't like to be around shepherds, but who did the angels go to first? The least and most unlikely social class. Tell them what had taken place. Jesus could have been born in Jerusalem, in some kind of a hospital, but remember, he was in Bethlehem, and it was not a hospital. It was in the barn or stable area. Maybe that's why they call it the delivery stable. But you got Elizabeth, who is a relative of Mary. And so Mary thinks of the things that Elizabeth said to her when she went to her house. She said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." It wasn't that much longer following this, they ran into Simeon. Simeon, who, here's what he had to say, 2:29. He says this to Joseph and Mary after he took Jesus in his arms and he praised God. He said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Goes on and says that the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." So something is going to happen even to Mary, which is thinking about and preparing her for crucifixion. We find Anna, who was also at the temple at the same time that Simeon was there. And she was a widow, and she was very old. She had been married and lived with a husband 7 years after their marriage. And now he had died. And she never, ever remarried. And she's 84 years old. It says in verse 37. It says that she never left the temple but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who are looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. You have Jesus in John 19:26, that he's hanging on the cross. He looks at his mom. And I always found it interesting that Jesus never said mom, but he called her woman. He said, "Woman, dear woman, here is your son." And of course, you have the Magi who came from the east that bowed down and worshipped him when they found him in Bethlehem, and they offered him the gifts, gold, frankincense, and gold. We could go on and on of many things that Mary heard even from John the Baptist, about her son. From each of the disciples that followed him and were with him for 3 years. And you think of all the people that Jesus healed along the way in that ministry, that each one of those that he healed, what they would say about him, that she would hear about. Of course, she never heard about all of them. But she pondered things and treasured things in her heart. So I just close with this today. It's just, you know, asking you this question. What are you holding on to and pondering in your heart about Jesus today? What are you holding on to? What do you ponder in your heart? You know, he came for you. Your sins could never be forgiven otherwise if he did not come. But he came for you because he loves you. There are some people who say, I don't know how anyone can love me. Let me tell you, God loves you just the way you are. But he loves you so much, he doesn't want you to stay the same as you are. What we have treasured in our hearts will either sustain us or find us empty, because we have treasured all the wrong things. But Mary, on the other hand, pondered and treasured all the right things. And we want the same thing for you today and every day, that you ponder the things of God's Word in your lives. You ponder Jesus Christ every day, because he's more than just another babe. He's the Savior of the world. He's your Savior. He's your Savior. He died on the cross. He demonstrated how much he loves you. He rose again on the third day to proclaim victory over sin, death, and Satan. And now we get to be his witnesses. He changes our lives from the inside out. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, day after Christmas, as we've had many different kinds of experiences, times with friends and family, and things that have brought smiles to our faces. Lord, in some ways, people will say, well, Christmas is over with, let's kind of get on with real life now. But really, Christmas is every day. Every day of our lives. Thank you for the poem that you laid on Mark to write and then to share with us today. Thank you for the conversations that Nancy had with her son's friend. Thank you for the candlelight service. And thank you for her family coming over and seeing expressions of joy and happiness to be together as family. Lord, Christmas is not over. But may we just be thankful that you sent us Jesus Christ so that we could have these kinds of things that we ponder and treasure in our own hearts today. But most of all, may we know that we have the salvation, that he came to seek the lost, and we may go to heaven. So, Lord, thank you for seeking, for coming to us, for being patient with us, because sometimes, Lord, we are stiff-necked just like your people. We're stubborn. But you wait until we open up our hearts and invite you in. That's what you've always wanted from the beginning. May that be something we always will treasure and ponder on. It's how great a Savior that you are, that you came for each one of us. And there are others that still are not of the flock, that you still go to and are trying to. Now, you just be patient. They would see your love and want to be a part of your family. So Lord, may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. May you stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, and then the benediction of the Father. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. You may be seated as
thanks be to God.